Hi guys, it's Skip LaCour. Hey, thank you so much for joining me for this More Than Just Muscles podcast. And thank you so much for the emails that you're sending me at skip@skiplacour.com. You're telling me how much you're enjoying the podcast. You're enjoying my stories. You appreciate the fact that I'm being transparent and open about all my challenges. I want more for you than just that, though. I want you to listen to the solutions that I came up with, because I really want you to get on the other side. If you know this is a challenge for you, if you know you've put a disproportionate amount of energy and focus in your bodybuilding and training, and it's left you coming up a little short in those other areas of life, I want you to get over to this other side. It's great over here. I want you to listen to my stories. I want my pain to be your gain, and that's what this podcast is all about. When I was going through my adjustment period, the biggest challenge for me was I didn't know if I was just all messed up in the head. I didn't know if this was unique to me or if other bodybuilders went through the same challenge. And that's why I have this podcast. I still don't know. I still don't know what other bodybuilders go through, what they've gone through, what adjustments they had to make. I mean, it's just something that's not talked about. I did talk to one gentleman, and he's the guest on today's podcast. Over the last dozen or so years when I was making that adjustment from time to time, and that's IFBB professional bodybuilder Jeff Willett, a really great guy, and he's joining me on the podcast to share his experience, his story. So in addition to mine, you get to hear from another person, and I want to do that in future podcasts. I want to talk to those bodybuilders who really maybe became famous doing it, but I also want to talk to people like you who have put a lot of energy in what adjustments you've made and how this podcast is helping you develop that overall quality of life that you really want. So enjoy this week's podcast. Enjoy Jeff. And tell me what you think. Send me an email at skip@skiplacour.com. Enjoy the podcast.
Welcome to Skip LaCour's More Than Just Muscles podcast. If you're dedicating your time, energy, and focus into building an awesome body, but the sacrifices that you're making just aren't producing all of the same great feelings they once did, then this podcast is for you. Or if the bodybuilding and training success that you've worked so hard to earn isn't providing all of the happiness you thought it would when you started on your journey, and you even think it might be getting in the way of your overall happiness in life, this podcast will offer you insight and perspective. This More Than Just Muscles podcast is specifically designed to help dedicated bodybuilding and fitness enthusiasts who find themselves asking, is this all there is from time to time? No matter how great they physically look and feel, or how many people respect and admire what they've been able to accomplish with their bodies. Skip LaCour is a six-time national drug-free bodybuilding champion who has been a leader in the bodybuilding and fitness world for over 25 years. He is a success coach, speaker, and business owner. Skip helps ambitious men understand and execute effective leadership and influence skills so that they reach their goals in life with more clarity and confidence. This More Than Just Muscles podcast is jam-packed with simple and effective strategies and distinctions that will help you break out of your current way of thinking and take action so you can finally create a better overall quality of life. It will get you on the path toward more happiness and fulfillment and a new empowering identity that's significantly more meaningful than just having a great body.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this More Than Just Muscles podcast. I am Skip LaCour. This is a podcast that's really near and dear to my heart because this is my personal journey. And I have to tell you, I dedicated so much time and energy and focus to bodybuilding and training, and I was somewhat successful with it. And there were so many people around the world who wanted to model what I did, to duplicate that, to reach my level of success. But putting all that energy, it kind of left me thinking, well, is this all there is? You know, I had big goals, big dreams for my life, not just with my body, right? I wanted to be successful in business, relationships, family, life, health, wealth, happiness, everything. And kind of felt that all that energy kind of put me in this dead end. And what I realized, and, you know, I'm talking to you guys in this whole series of More Than Just Muscles podcast where we meet every week, is I kind of went through my personal journey and I kind of felt a little bad. I don't want to sound like I'm not appreciative of everything I accomplished, especially when so many of you guys want to accomplish the same thing. But, you know, I went out and I talked about my personal struggles and my journey, that how I was, you know, neutralizing from my extreme focus being that bodybuilder guy to, you know, normalizing my life and getting on the right track to the quality of life, the real big overall quality of life that I wanted, sharing those struggles, sharing that journey. And it just hit a chord with so many of you guys. Maybe not everybody. You know, I always say this, More Than Just Muscles podcast isn't for everybody. Man, if you love the gym and it just makes you feel whole, it's your identity and you've got these dreams and goals and passion, this podcast isn't for you. And I'll just tell you this up front, I'm an influential guy. I can present a case and a story, and I don't want to mess with your head because I know what it takes to become that, have that amazing physique, right? It takes focus. It takes certainty. It takes confidence in what you are doing. You don't need anybody messing with your head. So if that's you, turn this podcast off. This is for people who want to dedicate their life to bodybuilding training. They love it. They love the way it makes it feel, their body, and not or, and have an overall quality of life. Because I think through my stories, me working through, I found that combination. Took me a while, but I found it. And that's what I'm so passionate about, sharing that story, sharing those mental and emotional challenges and solutions that I figured out with you. So that's what this More Than Just Muscles podcast is all about. Thank you so much. It's hit a chord with you guys. So many emails you've sent to me telling me, wow, I didn't realize you went through that, Skip. That's me. That sounds just like me. And that's my passion. That's my journey. And I remember in my darkest days when I should have been so feeling so up, so successful, I'd worked so hard. And it just didn't feel that way. And I just felt in so much emotional pain, like, what am I doing here? And in that moment, I said, you know what? I'm going to work through all this. I'm going to figure everything out. And it's my new mission to teach these guys more than sets and reps, but how I did do it. I didn't know how to do it at that time, but I was determined to figure it out. And that's what this More Than Just Muscles podcast is. And again, so many emails from you guys that you can identify. I want to speed you up in the process. I want my pain to be your gain, right? And that's why we meet on this podcast every week. And thank you so much for the emails. I just want to tell you, send me those emails at skip@skiplacour.com. Continue sharing your story. It fuels me. It energizes me. It gives me that validation that I'm on the right track. And I'll tell you something. I know through this podcast, I'm a big podcast guy too. And, you know, I get on this podcast and I talk so openly and like we're bros. And I know we build that connection. And sometimes you want to reach out. I've done that on podcasts. And so frustrating. They're talking to me bro to bro on a podcast. They hit my soul. I identify with them. I send an email. I don't hear anything. But I'm persistent. I throw a couple emails out there. I don't hear anything. Look, you send me an email. Tell me about this podcast. Tell me how it's moving your life. I will get back to you. I will. That's my promise. Guy who shows up and produces these podcasts for you every single week and a lot more throughout the years. I will do that, right? It's my pain. I want it to be your gain. I want, you know, something that took me, I don't know, 10, 15 years to figure out. I want you to figure out in 1 or 2 years so you can enjoy that quality of life that you really want sooner, a lot sooner than me rather than later or never. Man, I got to tell you, I'm still really active in the bodybuilding training world. You know, I have a supplement company. I still give you guys tips at skiplacour.com. But I see a lot of guys getting older, my generation or older. And I just wonder, you know, how are they working things out? Well, I've always wondered that. And so I have a very special guest during this podcast who so willing to share his story in the same manner. It's my good friend, an amazing competitor, amazing natural competitor, IFBB professional bodybuilder by way of the Team Universe, but he did really well against the big boys in some really big contests, and we'll talk about that too, right? But even more than such an amazing drug-free bodybuilder, this is an amazing guy. It's someone who I kept in contact with during all these years, and his name is Jeff Willett. Welcome to the More Than Just Muscles podcast. Jeff, how are you doing today, sir?
Great, Skip. Thanks for having me. Always enjoy talking with you and to you.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, before there was a More Than Just Muscles podcast, me and you used to do it one-on-one, gaining perspective, adjusting to quote-unquote normal life. And I really appreciate all your support trying to figure this thing out. And I also appreciate for the listeners, you being willing to, step up and talk about your journey. We'll talk about some positive things, right? I always like to tell everybody, look, I'm not anti-bodybuilding. I'm really pro-bodybuilding. It's just that when it gets in the way of the overall quality of life, where all that focus leads you to a point that stops short of the life that you really want, right? So we're going to talk positively, but I admire that you wanting to step up and kind of share some of the downside. And tell me about that. Tell me why that's important to you. Why are you willing to step up and do that?
Well, when you approached me about your More Than Just Muscles podcast, and I listened to a few of them, and I definitely could relate. You know, you and I have had our private discussions over the years, and I think what's always been interesting is you and I can relate on a certain level because our careers, even though we're a little bit different in age, but there were a lot of parallels really in our careers, and so I could relate with you on a level that not everybody I talked to could relate to that. So I've always enjoyed and appreciated that. So when you gave me the opportunity to come and share on here, I thought it was a good idea. One, because you never know, who it might help, like it might strike a chord with. Two, it's, I think it's interesting to give some insight, and I'm learning. And sometimes when you share, you learn even more in that process of sharing and teaching. So that's why I was open to it.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you talked about not very many people can relate to your story because, you talk to most guys, it would kill to have gone through your journey. All the ups and all the downs, right? They don't have the same perspective. Where you talk to me, it might be a little bit different. Are you like me? Do you ever feel a little guilty? Look, guys, yeah, I know, but there is a downside to all this, right? I mean, do you feel a little guilty if you don't want to make sure you don't complain about all this great stuff that came along with all the challenges?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, and sometimes, and I'm, very involved too, and still, and I'm sure we'll talk about that a little later, but I mean, I have in ways a love-hate relationship with bodybuilding. I mean, and so I've tried to balance that and sometimes struggled with it a bit.
Right, right. Well, tell me, what do you love the most about? Let's just start off the positive, right? What do you love so much where, even as we approach well, you're a younger man, like you said, by a chunk of years. But, you start growing up. Yeah, I know you've got a family now and responsibility, right? Not just the 16-year-old kid who started on his journey. But it's still such a major part of your life. What do you love most about the whole bodybuilding and training lifestyle?
For me now, it's metamorphosized so much to the part that I love about it now really has less of anything to do with me. And it has more to do about, I really enjoy when I can help somebody, inspire somebody, or, to get in shape or to compete, or maybe they just finally like the condition they achieve or something like that. I mean, that's really what I love about it now. It maybe oddly to you, it has nothing to do with the lifestyle for me, really.
Uh-huh.
What I love about it is what I can maybe help or influence or motivate somebody else to do that maybe they couldn't have done or didn't know they could do until they came across my teachings. And so that's really, I would say, my love of it is more in that area now.
Right. And all the challenges and the pain and suffering that goes along with every journey, it gives you an amazing career. For those people who don't know Jeff, he is the 2003 NPC Team Universe overall winner. He's been on several United States teams representing in the IFBB World Amateur Championships. So many victories, right? From 16 years old. What is your number one greatest memory as a competitor about your bodybuilding career? The number one, that just sticks out the most, just gives you chills when you think about it, Jeff.
For me, it was actually 2 weeks before, even though the most special is in a way, is the Team Universe overall victory, because that was how I earned my pro card. But to me, the biggest thing was 2 weeks before that, I placed fourth at the USA light heavyweight division, which was always ultra highly competitive, in particular that year. But, and as that's with guys doing whatever, anything and anything.
Right.
And I not only stacked up with them, but placed in the top four. So to me, that, I guess, is my personal crowning thing as far as competitively is concerned.
Right, right. And all your victories, all your amazing pictures, they did give you a platform, like you said, to set the stage so you can help so many people. You're a role model. You've not only talked the talk, obviously, by all the pictures and all the titles, you've walked the walk, and so that brings people to you. Why don't you tell people what you do for a living now, because it's helping people. It's in the fitness business. For those of you who don't know you, or they're here, Jeff, I remember that guy. What's going on in his life? Why don't you bring everybody up to speed?
Well, I am a small business owner. I moved, after I won my pro card, I moved back to my hometown of Ader, Michigan. I was living in Colorado. I opened up Jeff Willis Powerhouse Gym, and about 10 years ago, like I said, renovated a building, bought a building. So I own and operate the business. But then I also have been producing instructional products, DVDs, one-on-one coaching, and most recently I just launched jeffwillettpremium.com, which is a premium website where I really share all kinds of exclusive videos, communication through our member forums, and regular video updates, Q&As, that sort of thing. So it's a place where I share a lot of personal information and answer questions directly. So it's a combination of that. I mean, just trying to make my way as an entrepreneur with, right, and a small business owner.
Right. And let me ask you something. Is there what I call an avatar? I mean, your perfect client. Do you specialize in one? I know you help a lot of people, men, women, young, old, competitors, non-competitors, get in shape, right? But is there a large amount of your clients and the people who work with, do they fit in one group, or how would you say that's distributed?
Well, that's a good question. I do get a little bit of all multiple demographics, but really I think it's that individual who is seeking, they've come to me because they know I'm drug free. They come to me because they might have seen my documentary, I Want to Look Like That Guy. They've seen how I helped transform the subject of that documentary. I mean, I get a lot of people that way. They're seeking a better way. And I think they like my no-nonsense kind of approach. I mean, I have a very specific way I go about the training and nutrition.
Uh-huh.
I try to break through the, I call it bodybuilding mythology. So I think people, I'm not your Flex magazine, guy.
Right.
I mean, if you want the latest and greatest workout, then we're probably not going to like what I had to say. But if you want no-nonsense physiology, I'm your guy.
Right. And so would you say they're people who just want to get in shape versus the hardcore competitor getting ready for a show? I mean, what percentage breakdown would you say come to you?
Boy, I get a good mix of both, really, because I get a lot of those guys, and I credit that mainly to that documentary where they've just never been able to get a six-pack, or they've never been able to feel good about how they look with their shirt off. So I do get a fair amount of that. But then here in my gym, I get a bigger percent of people that want to compete. So it's split pretty good, I'd say.
Right. Well, you can contact Jeff at jeffwillett.com. What's your Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Jeff? And we can post that below this podcast too, but how can they get a hold of you? What's the best way?
Yeah, Facebook, Jeff Willett, Twitter, same thing. Just search for Jeff Willett. It might be Jeff that Willett, I'm not sure. We'll put the actual one up there, but I am on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And you can also email me at jeff@jeffwillett.com, and that's Willett, one T in Willett.
All right. And tell me what the family life is like and how that differs from when you were a bodybuilder. You're hardcore.
Wow. Well, very happy to say I have he's about 5 months old, son, Calvin, and he's doing great. So that has been a wonderful, supportive, lovely wife. And so that part's been, is really solid, and, uh-huh, and great and exciting. And so that's dramatically different from what it was back, back in the trenches, if you will.
Right, right.
Solitary, head down, thinking about the next contest kind of
right,
thing.
Right.
Very different.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take it right from the beginning. We're going to take a quick break, Jeff, and then we're going to go back to the beginning where this passion, this dedication, this focus of this bodybuilding lifestyle that produced such an amazing competitive bodybuilding career and a lot more. We're going to take a look back and see how it all started. So we'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Skip LaCour's More Than Just Muscles podcast. So
So you have your bodybuilding and training efforts going in the right direction. That's awesome. Are you now ready to take your entire life to the next level too? Sure, it takes a lot of focus and discipline to build a great body, but that's not going to automatically translate into an incredible overall life too, unless you have a clear-cut vision for exactly what you want for your life and an effective plan that you really believe in to make it happen. Maybe you've already realized this. Your body has improved dramatically. People compliment you all the time, but you still feel that there's something missing. What's your plan to become more than just a great body and create an amazing, balanced, overall quality of life that you can be proud of and confidently work toward? One-on-one peak performance coaching specialist Skip LaCour will help you channel all that your hard work, discipline, and abilities to become more than just muscles and help you build a life filled with confidence, passion, and purpose. You can have it all. Confidence in every social situation, wealth, opportunity, freedom, love, and connection, along with your impressive physical body and amazing health. When you know the strategies to put it all together and execute them on a continual basis, go to SkipLaCourCoaching.com and see the different one-on-one life coaching plans Skip LaCour has to help you. Set up a free coaching session to see if this exclusive next-level one-on-one coaching program is right for you by sending Skip an email at Skip@SkipLaCourCoaching.com.
We are back with this More Than Just Muscles podcast. I have a special guest today to share his perspective when it comes to becoming more than just muscles, and that is IFBB professional bodybuilder, powerhouse gym owner, and online coach and premium website developer, provider, and so much more. So, Jeff, let's go back to the beginning, right? Let's go back to the beginning. How did you catch this bug of bodybuilding and training? What age were you? What got you into? What sequence of events? What was going on in your life back then?
Yeah, it was around when I was 16. And I guess like a lot of kids, you know, I enjoyed looked up to the muscle physiques, the Incredible Hulk, you know, that sort of comic books and whatnot. But anyway, so I was always kind of drawn to it anyhow. And even at a young age, very young age, I used to have people ask me if I worked out, even when I was like, you know, I don't know, elementary school or whatever. I guess I already had a propensity, a little bit of musculature. But in any event, I was encouraged by my older brother who had come home from college one summer, and you know, he'd been working out, and I was impressed with the muscle he built. And he said, "Man, you really got, you know, good genetics for it. We should try it." Well, anyway, went to the gym, started working out, absolutely fell in love with it, saw results quickly, went to my first bodybuilding contest with my father at local shows, see some guys compete at the gym. And it was really at that moment when I saw the first people walk out on stage, I'm like, this is what I want to do. I want to be great at this. And that it was really that moment. And then I never looked back. I was 16. I just went forward from there. I competed in my first contest about a year after that and never looked back.
All right. I can tell you've answered that question like 5 million times. Am I right?
Couple.
Yeah. Couple right. Times. Well, I'm going to ask you some different questions all in this More Than Just Muscles theme. You know, your story from what I see, I've met your wonderful family. I mean, your parents, I've been to the town where you've grown up. You know, it's all American, right? You know, one thing is I talk about my challenges growing up, my challenged family life, father, you know, blah, 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 early teenage years, working at the grocery store, wanting to be. I mean, my attraction to bodybuilding and training, it was, when I found it, it was, you know, me becoming I don't know, just, it was the ills of the past. It was solving, you know, challenges, chatter going on in my head. I found this place, and, you know, in my tribe, a lot of people can connect with that. And again, it doesn't mean your life is terrible, but, you know, that's the reason why I kind of was attracted to it. And I knew when I started, like, you know, this is for me. I didn't realize until much later, maybe it was more to do with my challenges in life, right? And, struggling in certain levels of the confidence level that I really wanted. I don't know how many people really look at it that way, but I certainly didn't, right? But from what I've, you know, met about you, that really wasn't your case. But I started at 27, you started at 16. So, you know, I've interviewed guys like Lane Norton who, you know, they work really hard, they're a champion, teacher, icon in the bodybuilding fitness world. And he talks about getting picked on. You know, that really, you know, he talks about that a lot. He was bullied a lot, and he's kind of taken on this shield, and that's part of his drive, right? Mm-hmm. I don't get any of that vibe from you. Tell me, I don't know if you can sit on the couch and analyze yourself, Jeff, mm-hmm. right? What was it about this lonely, dedicated, you know, lifestyle that drew you in, and had you do it for so long, right? You did it for 16 years straight, from 16 to 32. Is that correct?
Yeah,
about
around that, yeah, pretty much. I mean, at that point, it was like more than half of my adult life was really dedicated to it. You know, at that point, and hell, we might need 3 hours if I want to figure this.
Years, have you thought about it? I mean, I'm curious.
I have a little bit. I mean, one thing that comes to mind right away, and I can't really, you know, analyze exactly why, but I guess it was a desire to be great at uh-huh. something, and this feeling like, and I was naive as hell. I mean, I had no idea about drugs. I, you know, like most people don't when they start, I right. just felt like I could be great. And I felt like it was all up to me too. I mean, I didn't really have to rely on anybody else in the process. I could be as good as I wanted to work, you know, and that's part of it. I mean, I'm sure there's more, but
well, let me ask you this, because the antithesis, or, you know, different spin on the same thing, is that if someone had this desire to be great because they didn't feel great, or they liked it to work, it's just me versus me and not depend on anybody else, it's because of maybe not trusting or not wanting to be in situations with other people. And that was kind of like, you know, there's a lot of that stuff going on with me and a lot of people I see. But again, I don't know what was going on with little Jeff back then. You know, like I said, you got great parents, great family, great talent, right? But
yeah, and the other thing that's interesting too, I mean, now that you mentioned it, I mean, at that point, I mean, I'm still so young. I mean, there's so much I hadn't experienced yet. So that's a good question, and that probably would take a professional.
Well, I'll tell you this, though. You know what? I mean, I'm not a psychologist. You know, when I do coach people around the world, Jeff, you know, I do life coaching. I don't do fitness coaching, and I mean, even though obviously I can help people with their fitness, right? And I don't do contest prep. I mean, we work towards, you know, working towards the real goals, the big goals that they want in life, and getting them straight, giving them focus, giving them perspective, working through challenge, right? And I always have this one client, when I do that disclaimer, when I say, I'm not a psychologist, but he always says, all right, this is going to be something really good and really insightful, right? But, you know, I'm not a psychologist, but I'll tell you this. I've interviewed in my bodybuilding podcast Lee Haney, Rich Gasparri, Sean Ray, Chris Cormier, and all these guys were just like you. They were just great from the very beginning. You know what I mean? And those guys, I mean, everybody has their challenge, whatever, but they didn't. They weren't like all of our raving fans. Like, and we'll talk about the people who come to you and, you know, what you observe and everything like that. But these are the elite, and you're like one of the elite in the drug-free area. You know, these guys didn't have all these issues, you know, that I may have had, and a lot of the people who follow us, you know what I mean, who admit it or whatever, right? They were just really good at it right from the beginning. They just knew they were good, and they just did it from 16, you know, till their 50s now, right? Yeah. And they just built a great life, and they didn't overcompensate for anything. You know what I mean? It's usually amateurs and maybe kind of top amateurs, not you guys who were kind of out of the womb at 16 years old and mastered it, right? So, you know, maybe there was nothing at all that you were compensating for, like many of us, right? And that's another reason why I have you on the podcast, because he, you know, I'm not a psychologist, but I don't really see all those things with you. I just think you just started earlier. You were really good at it. And then it kind of, the challenges came because that's all you focused on, and you kind of right. missed some other life little lessons along the way, wouldn't you say?
Right. I would, yeah. I think that's fair.
Yeah, yeah. Well, why don't we tell me this? Let's skip ahead. So both of us, we stopped competing at the same time. That's been now, man, can you believe it, 12 years ago already, Jeff?
It's crazy.
Yeah, time flies.
Another lifetime ago.
Yeah, right. So go back to 2003. You're the champion. You reached this really lifelong goal, right? You know, and you were satisfied. It doesn't sound like you had all these big desires to take your drug-free physique and compete against the big boys. You were done. You accomplished your goal. Tell me about the last 12 years adjusting to normal life. Because I'll tell you this, you've heard this probably as much as I have, is that, you know, people say that, man, if you can be focused in bodybuilding, if you can do this, if you can enter a show, you can be great at anything, right? Do you hear that on social media? Yeah. Say that? You hear that a lot?
Yep.
At the same time, you know, how many of them are really great at everything, right? You know what I mean? So I guess it could be true, although I don't know how many I see that actually, you know, put that into execution. Tell me what you think about that statement, and tell me, you know, how bodybuilding might have created some challenges for you adjusting to quote-unquote regular life.
Well, I mean, just to back up to the end real quick, so it's at that moment, like, I knew going into that year and as elevating how hard I was working and working to get the kind of condition, thanks to you, that we all had to get. But what I drove myself to do that year, in my heart going into those last few weeks, I really felt like, I don't know if I can do this again. I truly felt that. I don't know if I can go this hard again. So I felt like I really need to get the pro card this year, or I don't know what's going to happen. So then when I won, deep down in my heart that night, I really felt like it was it. I was never going to compete again, but I couldn't really come to grips with that yet, and I certainly didn't tell anybody. And I walked through the
motions. Well, wait, let's stop. Let me stop. Why didn't you tell anybody? That's a good question. I'll tell you some of my thoughts about that, right?
I guess I didn't know what the hell I was going to do. I mean, because every year it was always, I had a pretty good, I think, solid plan of stepping stone contests to get me to the next level. I was never a guy that just competed for the sake of competing. Even when I started, I never did. I had set shows every year that was going to elevate me up to where I wanted to be. And I always had the next show. I always had the next goal. So suddenly, you know, that's over. And okay, now what? Talk about a feeling of like, uh-oh. I mean,
yeah.
Now what do I do?
Yeah, so, no, I can identify with the feeling. For me, a couple things that you said. One is I stopped competing in 2003, but I remember ever since 1994 or 5 or 6 or, you know, right around there, I say, this is going to be my last show because, again, of that superhuman effort and focus and deprivation of my other life that I did. But just like you, I didn't know what to do next, you know. I was all in, right? And so it kind of lingered on a couple more years, even when – I thought I was done too, but then January comes around and you don't have anything else to do. You're right back in it doing what you've always done for all those years, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you were done. Then what? What was the plan?
Well, I was living in Colorado at the time, and I really wanted to kind of get back here to my home. My family was here, most of my family, and I really thought this is kind of where I needed to be. So I decided, you know, well, what could I do? Well, I know. Let me go open a gym. Right? I mean, I didn't know nothing about.
Well, you laugh, but I don't think people know why you're laughing, because they think, that's cool, man. He's living the dream, right?
Yeah, I mean, people still think that. But my dream, I mean, just to be perfectly honest, because that's what this is about, and I don't mind saying it, but my dream was never really to be a gym owner. I never dreamed of owning a gym. It just seemed like kind of a natural progression. I thought I could be good at it. I thought, you know, my hometown, I wanted to come back and provide something really great, or that I felt would be great. And it's something I could do back here. I mean, what else, what other career move would I have in Adrian, Michigan? So I created my own career, I guess. But it seemed like a great idea, and I was excited to come back home, and people, you know, seemed excited about the idea of it. So, but it wasn't really well planned, but it's just kind of like, it just seemed like a natural progression. And at that point, I mean, I do have my degree. I mean, I graduated college with exercise science and business, but even my choice of path in college was really because of my bodybuilding.
Right. I mean, now you have 2 degrees, am I right?
Yeah. I double majored in business administration and in exercise science. And I guess in the back of my mind, I thought one day possibly gym ownership, but I never really was thinking at that point. I was still so into the artistry of competing. I never really thought past that at all.
Yeah.
You know, so
there's a big, I love that word artistry, because I tell people, not only am I a recovering bodybuilder, I'm a recovering artist, that artist mentality. There's a different mindset. And I see it all the time in the fitness world. People like to say, I hustle. They think they're a fitness person, right? You know, they throw all those words around social media, and I don't think many of them have a clue how much of an artist they are, right? It's a different mentality. Tell me about that, the mentality that it takes to be a great bodybuilder, that artist mentality that you talked about, versus boom, now you're in the business world. How do those things work well together? How do they conflict in your mind?
That's a great question. And, you know, the parts that work well, I mean, are being able to be disciplined and being able to be focused on a goal, being able to execute a plan. I mean, all those things, I think, are some tenets of greatness that apply to anything. But the challenge is, you know, I spent more than 10 years focused on building my muscles. Uh-huh. And with no thought to any outcome other than winning the next contest and, you know, and I think the artist part is because I never thought about, well, I want to be building for my future. I want to be thinking about my income. I want to be thinking about, you know, because there's no, you know, as we know it, well, I was naive to it, but there's no money in it at all.
Yeah.
So there's not like there, we win a contest and you get a big, check or anything. There's no money. In fact, it costs you money to compete and all this stuff. But I didn't care, man, because I wanted to be the best and I wanted to win my pro card. But I never once thought, you know, I'm not building anything for my future other than, you know, a world-class physique. And again, much like you said earlier, I am incredibly proud of that. And I look back on it now and marvel at what I did, really.
Right.
But yet, that doesn't really do anything a lot for me now unless I can figure out, and I'm still figuring out how I can take all that and turn it into a career, actually.
Right, right.
I mean, certainly some things help, for sure, but what conflicts is the fact that I had no real sense of, you know, business structure as far as, like, the importance of profit equals revenue minus expense. Simple as that, you know?
Right, right, right. Not just you do a good job and people pat you on the back and money comes in, right?
Exactly right. There's things to consider. What market are you in? I mean, does the market want your type of business where you're going to? I didn't do any research like that. I'm just like, well, I want to go to Adrian because that's where I lived. I never stopped and thought about, you know, studying the actual market. Right. I never thought about, you know, like I said, those certain business principles that I'm just now learning. I mean,
right.
Because I was more concerned, much the same thing about this, the same kind of artist mentality. I'm more concerned about delivering this perfect environment to get your workout, you know, and which is truly important because that's the product, no doubt. But the big piece is, you know, we need revenue minus expenses is going to equal my profit.
Right, right, right. Yeah. You know, I'll tell you, I work with a lot of recovering bodybuilders, Jeff. They were personal trainers in gyms. Somehow they made it for 20 years and now they're in their 40s and thinking, Skip, what the hell am I going to do? Right? I have nothing for my future and I don't even have a skill set and I don't want to do this anymore. That's when they come to me. Right.
Yeah.
And the biggest challenge is, it's kind of what you said. And I'll tell you, it's important with the crowd that we're talking to in this podcast is when you say, look, it's important to have a great gym and great product and whatever. You have to really say, now, I'm not going to cut back on that. It's just not or, and turn it into a business to make money. You don't have to either have a great product and make no money or make a lot of money and cheat, steal, lie, and be a scam artist, right?
Right.
That's part of it. You know, you tell me, we're going to take a quick break, but there's so many points that you brought up that I want to draw out one by one. By one with you, but let's just talk about that one. And this bodybuilding mentality that draws us to this, that's, I think, is a challenge when we want to adapt and add to the quality of our life, is this black and white mentality that you're either in or you're out. It's either pro or it's con. You're either on my team or you're not on my team. There's no gray, because in that superstructure of bodybuilding, the more things you can make black and white, then you could just do it, put your head down, put more energy, right? And that's not how the world works, black and white. You can put on a great product, a great gym, and great value. And you can say to yourself, look, I'm trying to take care of my family and make money too,
right?
They can't differentiate a lot of times with that being into the, you know, this whole fitness lifestyle. So we'll probably talk a little bit more about that and some other great things that you brought up that I want to dig into a little deeper. So we're going to take another quick break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Skip LaCour's More Than Just Muscles podcast.
This More Than Just Muscles podcast is brought to you by Skip LaCour's Mass Machine Nutrition, the highest quality and most effective bodybuilding supplements and sports nutrition products on the market. Supreme, clean, Mass Machine Nutrition. Check out the entire line at www.massmachinenutrition.com. Skip LaCour's Mass Machine Nutrition is also available at the world's number one online supplement store, bodybuilding.com.
So we are back with IFBB professional bodybuilder Jeff Willett, businessman, powerhouse gym owner. He's an online coach to get all kinds of people in shape. You can check him out at jeffwillett.com and jeffwillettpremium.com if you really want to take your focus to the next level. If you want to skip through all and get some real attention, real focus, go to jeffwillettpremium.com. So, Jeff, we kind of talked about how you started at 16 years old. You went 16 years of straight focus. You did go to school. You got a couple degrees. So you're not some dummy meathead. You came from a great family. We couldn't quite figure out what was it about you that just jumped all in that. Maybe need another 12 years to figure that out. But, but I tend to think it's because you were so good, like those other greats that I talked about. It's just something good, and, you just did it. Unlike, me and a lot of my guys, we kind of gravitate towards that to regulate some emotions and some confidence issues that we were kind of neutralizing. So we got that all figured. But we're talking about, after you retired, 12 tough years. And you kept on, okay, that's it. Gave it my all. I look so amazing. Can't do this again. And you didn't know what to do next. You started your gym because that's what you should do when you're an IFBB pro, right? Never really thought about anything else because all that energy went into your body. Look, I'll tell you something. There's a lot of people, not usually if they've made it into a half an hour into this podcast or they've listened to my More Than Just Muscles theme. We've got a pretty captive audience, and they appreciate what I say. I know that they're appreciating getting your point of view. They never knew. Good-looking Jeff, family, child, gym, champion, IFBB pro, and even natural and everything like that. What does he have to complain about? It's probably helping to make them, I guess I don't feel like such a freak anymore, right? And we talked about that black and white mentality, like you're an artist or you're a scam artist. Like there's nothing in between, right? Yeah. There is one thing that I think about a lot, and when it comes to the whole fitness mentality. And so about business, right, and taking care of your future. I mean, what was the plan, and how are you neutralizing the plan, and do you regret? I mean, what would you have done differently when it comes to business? Let's do that, because I'll tell you, now that we're so connected with YouTube and Facebook, there's a lot more Instagram, there's more opportunities. So how were you thinking? What would you have done differently? What advice would you give someone who wants to be like Jeff Willett, right? But they just want to maybe do it a little bit better. How about that?
Well, I'll kind of summarize it in the keep it just in the business code right now, in a sense. So one thing I naively thought was, hey, IFBB pro, team universe champ, going to go back to his hometown, going to bring a powerhouse gym in, you're going to get a great place, great building, put the open sign on, and man, the members are going to roll in.
right.
And they're just going to sign up, and guess what? The market doesn't work that way. You can have the best gym, the best advice. People can come in here and talk to me directly about advice for their workouts, this and that. But when you get in the reality, that doesn't always mean a lot to people. They just want to come in, they want to get a cheap membership somewhere and do their thing. You got to understand the market. You got to do things to create and cause sales. You got to do things to create leads. And especially in a small, I'm in a very small market on top of it. So that it's a whole nother set of challenges. So I guess what I'm saying is there was a big naivety on my part that, you just go, you open the door, and bam, members just flow in. And it was very, very different.
Well, there's something, and then you can add on to this, is that you hear that all the time in the fitness industry. The guys that are putting so much effort into their bodies. And they say to you, look, you do what you love, the money will follow. Don't chase money, right? That's kind of would be their argument to that, right? Well,
yeah.
What would you, because I think that there's some truth to that, but I think there's parts missing, and I think, you know, you can add some dimension to that.
I think there is some truth to it, but more than anything else, just like there are principles to bodybuilding, there are principles to business, and you need to understand them and operate those principles of business, or you're going to struggle, and it doesn't matter how passionate you are about something. I mean, I find that comment a little bit annoying, actually, because, you know, you want to be passionate about what you're doing, but that in and of itself doesn't mean anything. I mean, you can be passionate about bodybuilding and have an absolute terrible workout and diet, and you're still going to look like hell. So you still got to have a good plan.
Right.
Be able to execute the hell out of something. But if the plan isn't any good, your results are going to be marginal, just like, and that's where there's a parallel to me. You know, I just needed help. I was naive in some principles of business, and I was naive, and, you know, I can execute the hell out of any plan, but my plan wasn't great with business because I'm just kind of making it up as I go,
right?
Because that was not my emphasis all these years. And if I had it to do over again, I mean, I don't know. Hindsight's a beautiful thing,
right?
one thing for sure I would do though is I would put more research into the market, and I wouldn't say, well, I want to go back to Adrian, so that's where I'm going to put my gym. That might have been a great decision for me emotionally. That's not a real great business decision.
Yeah.
You got to look at the market and where you're going to put something in.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think where that argument needs help, do what you love and the money will follow. And I think a lot of fitness people, you know, two things. What they have to understand is, you know, you look at all these Instagram followers or this lifestyle that it really looks like these really intense fitness experts, YouTube channel, this, that. You don't really know how much money they're making. You know, that's one thing. The other thing is that even if they were, would that be enough for you? We don't have these facts and figures available to us. The question is, you got to provide a value. Your body, you talking about you all the time, you know, that isn't something people pay a lot for, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody can do that unless you're just so damn charismatic and interesting. And there are some people like this that sponsors will come out and you do your thing about being wacky and, you know, be a train wreck, do whatever, be interesting, whatever, talk about your meals every single time and take all your glute pictures, all you want, right? You know, if that provides a value and enough people come around, maybe someone will give you some money. But I don't know. You have to translate your life, your dreams, you doing what you love to do. And it's got to be something that provides value to somebody else. Like you said, you know, a gym, you know, next level, next level, next level strategies, right? Some people just need to find a place just to move around, a place to go to feel good. They don't need 18 levels of expertise and advanced strategies, right? And so how much of your market really wants that or needs that, right? So it all comes down to not you. It comes down to the other person, the value you provide. I don't know how many fitness people think of things like that. They just think, hey, look at me. I'm such a shining example. But again, how do you know? You know, I would love to see how much money some of these guys are making. Or if they're going to be saying this 10 years from now, wow, that was a lot of focus, dedication. It sure was fun. I'm glad I did it. But in some ways, now I got to make up for all that time when it comes to business and taking care of the rest of my life, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you, and I joke around a lot about this. Because, you know, Jeff, there are people, and again, maybe they didn't make it this far into the podcast, right? They'll say, you guys be quiet. You know what? It's just working out and eating. It doesn't take that much energy. You could do that and live an amazing life. I do, right? Okay, first of all, this is what I tell guys. I go, look, okay, hey, if you can diet the way that I did, and Jeff, I know you did it the same way, right? Mm-hmm. That's why we look that way. And you know what? There's a lot of guys getting ripped who are natural now, right? But they weren't doing it back. We kind of broke this whole new ground back then, right? You know what I mean? And hey, if you can truly look, I don't know if your balanced life matches up to my balanced life because I want a lot of stuff. I want health, wealth, happiness, security for my financial future, right? The best for my kids. I want to be present with enough carbs in my system so I can pay attention to my kids, right? If you can do all that and look amazing, you know, like I did, hey, I give it up to you, right? good for you. I couldn't do it, right? And I don't know how many people can do it like you. And if you do have enough, I wonder if that would be enough for me, right? So the thing is, there's that resistance because they want to just stay in their structured path and they do what they do and people admire them and ask them a lot of questions. It's their identity, right? They don't want to budge, right? And they say, oh, come on, it's just an hour a day. I just eat right anyway, right? So you tell them that. They're basically, hey, what's your excuse? There's no excuse. What are you two whining about? Whatever. You know, you can hear that resistance, right? Right, Jeff? Mm-hmm. Okay. But at the same time, you go, ah, yeah, you look that way. Just genetics, right? You just show up an hour a day. What? What are you talking about? Man, yeah. You know how much I focus and I think about this. And I break down the strategies. I prioritize and I sacrifice. Okay, you're proving my point. Which one is it? Do you just show up and look so amazing? Or does all that thought and energy go in different directions that isn't your financial future, that isn't your relationship? Which one is it, right? You can't have it both ways. And my thing is the second one. You're right. You're amazing because you put an amazing amount of effort into that body. But you got to come to realize that's costing you, whether or not you care, you're paying the price. You may be like us later on, right? But it's costing you something, right? Make sense, Jeff?
Oh, yeah. You know, and what I found out, which I didn't really think about it at the time, was, and again, and I preface this by saying, you know, obviously I'm still helping people that want to go this route. So it's not like it's a bad thing.
Sure.
But this perspective. But I got to tell you, I mean, I never realized how selfish of a sport it was and selfish I really was all those years. You know, all the parties and things that I missed and sequestering myself in my little apartment in Colorado, but there was so much selfishness about it.
Well, dude, man, you could have got that ripped if you just did flexible dieting. You don't sacrifice any of your life if you just throw in a Pop Tart every once in a while. Come on, Jeff. Right? You hear that bullshit, right?
Yeah, and like you said, you know, maybe it's possible, but as far as I'm concerned, and I say this to all my people, and this is what I firmly believe. To have an extreme physique, you got to live an extreme lifestyle.
Sure.
I don't think you can have it both ways. And I lived a very extreme lifestyle, and so did you. And
right.
But it was required to be at the level that we were.
And Jeff, I think these guys are living an extreme lifestyle. It's just they're in their 20s and their 30s. They don't want anything else. They're going to be like us saying, now I need to balance things out. Look, if all you do is want to train and connect with people and talk about training and help other people, and make YouTube videos, right? And diet and just count your macros every single day. Really? You know, you don't think that takes energy? I mean, an obsession and look, right? Just because you you mix in some tasty food, that doesn't make you have a balanced life, right? You know,
right. Absolutely.
I just, you know, I had an interview with a gentleman, and you know, you ever, I don't know how much. You know, you're connected with all the other experts and gurus out there, but they're promising everybody if you train their way, if you adopt their lifestyle or whatever, right, then you don't have to be extreme. You can live a balanced life. They promise them that. Do you hear that?
I don't.
Okay.
I haven't seen that one.
No, they do. You know, they pride themselves on having a balanced life. Well, I talked to it was an interview with this one gentleman, and I said, yeah, but all you do is talk about training and you're coaching clients and you're filming your videos and you're talking about this and commenting on this. Your life isn't balanced, right? Because I think other people might have balance, you know, go on parks and trips in Disneyland and, you know, study their financial planning, get another degree, right? You know, master their finances, master their emotional relationships to the next level, right? I mean, their balance may be a little different for yours. Yours is all, well, that's because that's what I do for a living. Well, I get it. Hey, more power to you. You're helping people. You're doing what you love. But you're promised people balance, and the only balance you're teaching them is how to be a balanced fitness guru, right? Right.
Yeah.
Well, and again, you know, whether it's true or not, maybe they'll be this fitness guru and making videos of their training and taking pictures of their foods and showing the Pop-Tart they ate that day or whatever. Maybe they'll be doing this when they're 55. I don't know, but I think it's highly unlikely. I think they'll be able to measure how balanced their life was at 55, not when they're 25, right?
Yeah.
But they're giving advice, right? But let's get back to something else. Man, you're kind of hitting some nerves. You could tell I'm getting excited here, right? And it's about the selfish lifestyle, right? I mean, you read the comments. You read the memes. Everybody in the fitness world, man, we're doubling down on that. We're not selfish. If they don't like it, screw them. They don't deserve to be in our life. You shouldn't be even breathing in the H2O that they are. You shouldn't even be drinking the water that they drink from and breathing their air or whatever, right? Because they don't belong in your life if they can't accept your focus and dedication to the gym. What do you have to say about that?
Well, I think that you don't realize, and I'm just going to speak for myself. I mean, at the time, I'm thinking, well, I'm just, you know, I'm doing what I got to do for my focus and for my goals, which, you know, I mean, it was, but I didn't realize the selfish side of that when you step back and you think of all the things that, you know, I'm just speaking for myself, things that I missed over the years, events that I missed, gatherings that I missed. And it was like, well, I can't go because I'm so many weeks out from a contest or trips I didn't go on. I mean, but you can't get that time back, you know? Yeah. And, you know, did the reward outweigh the sacrifice? You know, maybe it did, maybe it didn't. That's for each one to decide.
Well, the story's never over, right? I mean, you could put all these talents and recognition in, you know, maybe somebody you meet from this podcast and is new to your circle. I mean, the story's never over, you know, what, you know, it all turns out to. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure. But it was interesting. I've come to these realizations over the years from just reflecting and as I'm working my own self back to sort of normalcy of life, because even though I may not have had the same issues or whatever, you know, and was just really good at it when I was young, but still, I mean, living that way for so long, I guess you get a little disconnected with what's kind of normal. I mean,
right.
That wasn't normal. And, you know, I lived
whatever,
in
but then they'll tell you, what do you want to be normal? Be you, don't be normal, no. Right?
Yeah, and I mean, and at the time, I guess that was enough. But like you said, they're going to know better when they're 55 instead of 25.
Right, right.
And you know, I lived in beautiful Colorado that had tons of things to do. I mean, I moved away from my home and all that to better my career. But how, you know, I didn't do any. I mean, there's all these things that I didn't do in that area that people ask me, when you lived there, did you do this? Did you do that? I'm thinking, well, no.
Do they have that there? Right?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, things like that you don't really realize when you're in it, but you look back on it now, you say, man, I mean, it was a lot of, you know, but I chose to do it. So it's, you know, it's hindsight. But like you said, sharing the perspective, you know, I think it's interesting.
Yeah, and maybe there's a way to do both. And by the end of this thing, we're not going to, you know, that's why I want to start off with some positive things. And I want to end off with our insight of, you know, how they can tie it all together, get the best of both worlds, because I do have some strategies for that and some ways to think about it. So, Jeff, we talked about, you know, the family time. We talked about business, those type of things. You know, one thing about the selfish thing, you know, the English language, like, I don't even know if this is true, but I always hear this in the motivational books. They say that the Eskimos have, you know, I don't know, 23 words for the word snow, right? Because there's there's light, airy snow. There's, you know, hard rock snow, right? There's all this slushy snow, right? So they have all these different words for snow, right? Selfish is kind of like, it's to me, that's so limited, because when people say selfish, it's like me versus you, screw you, all for me. And so when you say bodybuilding and selfish, I don't know how many people think that about bodybuilding. It doesn't really fit to me. It's not a perfect match for the word selfish, if you know what I mean. So that's why I think people push back and resist. So I'm going to tell you what I think about selfish. You tell me what you think. You know, it's just that your mind, for whatever reasons, again, whether you're, like in Jeff's case, he was great at it and he set a goal from an early age, I will not be stopped. Maybe for me is that, you know, life, I'm not living up to, hey, this makes me feel good, right? And I use it as a pit stop. And I did do well and it did make me feel good. It just kind of left me a little short on a lot of things, the price that I paid, at least in the short term, right? I wasn't a selfish guy. I wasn't, like, mean to people. But you know what? Man, I can think back when I had girlfriends, and I kind of talk about this in my upcoming book, It's a Matter of Trust, Confessions of a Recovering Bodybuilder. You may have seen the image, Jeff, where I'm looking over, she's talking to me, I'm looking over her shoulder at the clock, and I'm thinking, it's getting dangerously close to eating time, right? Because I had to eat on time, right? And you don't have time for people's challenges and waves and their emotions. And that's, you know, in a relationship, you have to make those compromises. But to be the best, it's, you can't make those compromises. So you have to shut them down from – they have to live within your structure,
right,
or you have to push them out.
Right.
And that's not being mean, I guess, but it certainly isn't open to the ebbs and flows of life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So selfishness isn't necessarily mean, you know?
No.
Yeah.
But I guess – and that's exactly right. And the other thing I look at is like – but you're – what I think about is like there are times where maybe selfish isn't the best word, but like where you're taking yourself out of situations where other people would have enjoyed you being present.
Yes.
It would have meant something to them if you were there.
Right.
But you think about them. You say, well, and it wasn't to be malicious. You're thinking this is a high and mighty purpose of your goal.
Yes. Yeah.
You didn't put them in front of you at all.
Yeah. I don't think I ever thought I thought I was doing something great for humanity. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Especially when you do the drug-free route. Let's talk about that real quick. You know, you talked about the money and the expense of being a bodybuilder. I say it's not only how much it costs, because I don't think people know the cost, but you're not thinking about making money. And, you know,
yeah,
hell, now that you have some carbs in your system, there's a million ways to make $1 million. You probably kind of casually thought about a half of one all that time, right? Right?
Exactly.
So how can you make it happen if you're not even thinking about it, right? And so you're losing money. And again, I went from 27 to 41. That's a big chunk of prime time life, worrying about striated glutes, right? And I remember Ron from GetBig.com, I was talking to him. I was going, man, this sport is way expensive. And the first thing he did was say, what? Why is it so expensive? You're a drug-free bodybuilder. You don't pay money for drugs type of thing. I think that, and so here's a little point that I was thinking about is that, yes, you're not taking drugs. Yes, quote unquote, you're not breaking the law. There's a lot of natural bodybuilders who are on this, you know, kind of higher and mightier. I'm a better person than the steroid taking bodybuilders. You know, now that I have some distance, I don't differentiate the animal so much differently, you know, than I did back then. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. I do.
Yeah, I mean, talk about that. Talk about the expense, what it cost you. Tell me how, like, you know, were you any better of a well-rounded human being and emotionally connected to the world just because you didn't take steroids? I mean,
no, not at all. And I think what was interesting about me, I think you were the same way. It's like I never, and I still don't put myself up on any type of pedestal for it, and I never used it as an excuse of why I didn't do this or that. I mean, that's how I wanted to do it. I still wanted to be the best at it, and you know, from that side of it, and I felt like I could compete at that level and so on. So, I mean, I never was like, I'm better than you or judgmental on it. It's just what I chose to do.
Right, right.
As far as the extremes, no. I mean, I think it's still the bodybuilding lifestyle, in essence, is the same no matter what. It's just different, a little bit different.
Yeah, I don't think that a lot of natural bodybuilders, and I hear their comments, and I see, and again, you got to justify what you're doing, right? They think it's so much of a better alternative. And I guess it is. You're not injecting yourself with drugs. But the cost that we're talking about, you're still paying it. If you're totally focused and you look that amazing, you know, striated glutes is a natural bodybuilder. I don't care if you mix in a Pop-Tart, right? You know, you are, you know, you're putting a lot of focus in there, right? It goes back to that. And, yeah, it's I don't know how different it is besides the drug thing as – or the chemically assisted counterparts when you're all in like that.
Well, yeah, I think so. And I never thought one – I can count in the span of, I don't know, probably one hand the amount of times I thought anything about my financial future during all those years.
Yes,
I just never did.
Yeah, yeah. No, and I tell you, the time stacks by. And, you know, maybe we should talk about that a little bit more because I think that's a good point because you think – you got all this time, but you know, the thing about it is you lost momentum not thinking about money. So that means when you stop at 32 or 41 or whatever, you're an infant now when it comes to that process, right? It isn't like, I think the thing is they think, well, I watch Dave Ramsey, you know, I've got a job or whatever, right? They kind of think that they're thinking about it. And once they stop, but no, you start at the bottom like everybody else. It's just like somebody can't say, well, I knew a guy who went to the gym, and so I'm going to start training. And then you're just going to be really good at it, right, to begin with, right? It's a process just like everything else. Well, you know, we talked about the lifestyle. You know, I want to talk about the interpersonal relationships. I know you're married. I know you have a son. You know, I know that this has been something that I'm assuming you wanted for a long time. And why now? What adjustments did you make? How did bodybuilding affect that? So we're going to get about that part of life. I want to know how important that is to you, how important it was back then. I know you come from a really good family, so I would think that that was always important to you. But we're going to find that out when we take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Skip LaCour's More Than Just Muscles podcast. Do you feel that you just can't get yourself motivated and disciplined enough to actually do the important things you know you must to reach those goals in life that you always say you want? Have you ever worked long and hard toward your ambitious goals, only to ask yourself, is this all there is once you've achieved them? If you can relate to these challenges, feelings, and emotions, then Skip LaCour's book, It's a Matter of Trust, Confessions of a Recovering Bodybuilder, will give you the insight and perspective to finally understand the obstacles that stand in your way and prevent you from living the life you really want. It's a Matter of Trust, Confessions of a Recovering Bodybuilder is Skip LaCour's very personal and revealing story about his journey to find the oftentimes elusive feeling of happiness in life that we're all looking for. In this book, the 6-time national champion, drug-free bodybuilder, entrepreneur, and speaker shares with you the most powerful lessons that he's learned about life to make your experience the very best it can be. It's his sincere effort to make good on the promise he made to himself during his darkest days, to make sure that the personal pain that he suffered doing everything he believed was right, and most importantly, exactly what he did to overcome that pain, empowers you with more direction, perspective, insight, love, and passion sooner rather than later. In the social media age, where it seems as though everyone is trying to present their lives to be a lot better than they really are, Skip LaCour makes sure he doesn't play that game, so he provides you with the clarity and direction you've been searching for. Everything that happens in your life can and will serve you in some way, shape, or form. It's just a matter of time until you realize it. It's a Matter of Trust, Confessions of a Recovering Bodybuilder by Skip LaCour will help you realize this about your own life. This book could very well be the source of the inspiration and information that you need to finally take control over your life and find your personal path to happiness. To learn more about It's a Matter of Trust, Confessions of a Recovering Bodybuilder by Skip LaCour, go to www.itsamatteroftrust.com.
We are back with IFBB professional bodybuilder Jeff Willett. We're hearing some confessions of a recovering bodybuilder, it sounds like, you know, the subtitle to my book, and Jeff, the Jeff Willett version, right? Okay.
Yeah.
So we talked about the effects, how you're coming back. I mean, I want to talk about your interpersonal relationships. You're married right now. I mean, you know, we've talked before about the selfishness. We also talked about, you know, a lot of fitness people on the internet kind of doubling down that they aren't selfish. And if the other person, you know, doesn't adhere, then they're the problem, right? They don't see that maybe they'll be causing. I see that situation totally different now. We also see our heroes on social media kind of reinforcing this life coaching advice about screw other people, right? Is that good advice or bad advice now, Jeff, with some time and distance past that extreme dedication of being a competitive bodybuilder?
Well, you know, here's again where that hindsight comes in, because I think, you know, and not to be wishy-washy about it, but it just depends on where you're at in your life and what your goal is.
Yes.
Because I still think if you want to have an extreme physique, I think you just have to be extreme like that. But the trade-off, the cost is what, like, where I'm at now and where you're at now. And so, yeah, I think that's but you got to decide, is that something you want to pay?
Yeah.
But you should go into it thinking about that. And maybe it is. I mean, and maybe it's well worth it. But you should understand that that's a real thing. That cost, that trade-off is a real thing, because life keeps going on. The clock keeps ticking. And you can't get that time back.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point. And if we were to skip to the end of this podcast, and we'll probably wrap it up and kind of reemphasize that point, because I think that's the advice that I would give, is that, you know, sometimes, like, you know, with my coaching, with my guys all around the world, right, what I am most proud of, how I can assist them, is to give them objectivity and perspective. Sometimes they have challenges in life. I talk to 20 guys every single week, right? I know what's normal and what's not, right? So some guys being a slacker, I said, dude, you're the only one that I know that thinks that way, right? You need to buck up, right? But at the same time, sometimes they can be really hard on themselves. They think they're a freak. They think they're defective in their thinking. I said, dude, we all think that way. And it kind of alleviates them from that pressure. And so they just bear down on solving the challenge, executing the solution and knocking it out instead of spinning, what's wrong with me? I think from this conversation, look, if you want to be the next Jeff Willett, right? Hopefully by this conversation, when these things happen to you, you just say, hey, that's the price that I pay. And you can bear down and focus while you're competing. And then afterwards, after you're making the adjustment, hey, I heard Skip and Jeff talking about this. Hey, this is just the way it works. Wouldn't it have been great to have had somebody talking to us like this, Jeff, while we were going through it? Oh, this is just what it takes, right? Yeah. You know, we're not telling you guys not to do it, right? Right. We're just trying to say, hey, because, you know, I tell you, bodybuilders in general are a very prideful group of people, right? Obviously, right? I guess that, you know, and now with social media, there's a lot of show. Who wants to expose their weakness, right? Jeff, I don't know about you. Do you ever wonder, like, what these bodybuilders are doing? Now, I mentioned some of the guys I interviewed. They're doing great. They've built a lifestyle, you know, based on their bodybuilding. And again, from 16 all the way to 50, they've built it special, unique, and different. They're like the one percenters, right? But right. There's a lot of guys who, you know, I kind of am looking at their Facebook pictures. I'm looking, and I don't know. And sometimes they even share some. They're not doing that well, right? Sometimes I wonder what their story is, you know, because over these years, am I the only one who thinks this way? You know, nobody's sharing the stories or the downside like we're doing right now. I mean, am I wrong? Have you? And again, some people might share their they took drugs and their health and those type of things, right? You might hear some of that where they're regretting that part of bodybuilding. But how about how it tattered your lifestyle, right? Do you hear, you know, anybody talk about that, Jeff?
No, I don't. And that's not really. I mean, and that's one of the things that I've always was interesting when you and I would talk, you know, privately, was just because it was something that, again, it was not a lot of people could necessarily relate to on the level that we did it. And some people still go at it, and hell, more power to you. I mean, if that's what you want. But for me, it wasn't something I wanted to continue with anymore as far as that hardcore lifestyle, you know, flexing and the mirror and all that stuff. And again, not there's anything wrong with that.
Well, tell me how you know, as a little side note, I know you, Jeff, right? So I know that this isn't important, right? And it's not important for me, too. But when someone's really into that, they've spent so much time building all this muscle. How does it feel not putting that effort, right? And then also you got older, right? I mean, I'm sure when you were in your prime, you would look at, you know, Frank Zane or some of the bodybuilders getting older, and you're thinking, that's a bitch getting old, right? I mean, how are you adjusting physically, right?
Yeah, you know, that's interesting too. I mean, I guess I'm at a very comfortable place with myself physically, with how I look and how I feel, and I don't have an issue about that. And I'll hear stuff. I mean, yeah, I'm nothing like what I once was, but, you know, for a 41-year-old, I think I probably, who knows what's average.
About right. It's just not, you could just tell it's not that important. I think the hardcore lifters can't even conceive that feeling that way, right?
Well, what's interesting is, like, you know, maybe 7-8 years ago, maybe some of that would bother me when I would hear that. And now it couldn't mean less to me when I hear it. Because I'm like, I've got nothing left to prove physically at all.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing. But what I'm more focused on is, how am I going to make my business better? You know, how
am I going to
my bottom line? That's impressive to me.
Right. And you got bigger fish to fry, and that priority's got to go everywhere. You still work out, I'm sure, and things like that. You know, someone said that to Sean Ray. You know, I talk to Sean Ray kind of often. I don't think he ever works out at all. You know what I mean? Yeah. And, you know, he's really into his kids. And I don't know if you know that, but, you know, the really active one is really like a pop star, right? I don't know. Did you know that? Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Asia Monet.
Asia Monet is her name, right? She had a reality show that Sean was on Lifetime Channel and all that, right? So she's like a singer and triple threat, and then, you know, he's got another daughter, and, you know, so it's, you know, he's always posting pictures of him, you know, at some resort, right, with the kids swimming, right? And someone did say that, something like, Sean Ray used to have the greatest physique in the world, and now he looks like garbage or whatever, right? And Sean Ray posted a picture. He goes, I have nothing left to prove. I've done it. I've conquered. And he showed a picture of him with this, you know, the feet up with the pool and the face, one of those. So, yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
So, yeah, well, there's just bigger fish to fry, but that goes back their lack of balance and they're focused on the prize that they want. They can't think of life after that. And you know what? I don't know about you, Jeff, but I remember when I was in my prime and I would see, you know, older bodybuilders. You know, we're talking 50s, 60s and whatever. And I guess they look good for 50 or 60, but man, I'm thinking, dude, put your shirt back on, right? I don't care how good they look. I didn't want to be 50 or 60 with inspire me, right? I was thinking, shit, I better get this for all it's worth, because I'm going to be 50 or 60 like that too, right? I'm curious, because I posted this on my Facebook to get an interaction. I get a lot of pushback. They go, what are you talking about? That's an inspiration, whatever. But am I weird, Jeff? And when you were like 30 years old and you saw 60-year-old bodybuilders with their shirts off and posing, how did you react to that? Did that inspire you?
Me personally, that's never really done it for me. And the whole it just never.
Yeah, but it did. I don't want to know. Obviously, it didn't inspire, but it de-inspired me. Right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, my thought was, I don't want to be offensive to anybody, but it's like I just thought, you know, when I'm at that point and I'm getting close to that point now, the last thing that I'm worried about is having my shirt off and. It's just a very different lens I'm looking through, man.
Right. Yeah, no, that's. I would see that and I'd say, I hope I got everything out of my body that I don't have to have my shirt off.
Yeah, you know I guess is what I'm kind of trying to say.
And I get the whole tap dancing around it because, you know, there's a lot. I don't know if, you know, we've made it an hour or so into this podcast. I don't think everybody listening, I think they're right on us and they probably agree with everything we're saying, right, at this point, you know. So let's talk about personal relationships, intimate relationships. You're happy, you're married, you know, now I really wanted that, but I didn't know how my bodybuilding got in the way of it so much. Yeah. And really the issues that brought me into the focused bodybuilding were the same issues that got in the way of real intimacy that I have now, you know, with my wife and my kids. I'm just wondering, you know, I observed you back in the day years ago, right? And to me, it's like, you just didn't have a lot of experience with women because you weren't dating a lot. You were lifting a lot of weights and entering contests, right?
Yeah, no, I think that's true. I think I missed out on a lot of the regular, probably social development and a lot of the stuff, trying to, you know, live in a certain lifestyle. And it's very fair. And I think it's accurate.
Yeah. So, what do you think you need to do to totally kind of neutralize, you know, the sacrifice and your 12 years removed? You've talked about this journey with your mindset. When will you know that you totally recovered, made the most out of it, so it doesn't feel like, I mean, what would have to happen for you? You understand the question?
I do. And it's something I still kind of, I still think about, but and this is going to sound like a very almost generic answer, but for me, it's getting financial stability.
Yeah. Yeah,
for me and my family, and then I will feel like I haven't, I hate to say wasted those years, because I don't feel like they were wasted. That's too harsh, but, you know.
I get it. You know, the challenge is put this combination puzzle, this, you know, all the jigsaw puzzle, and when you put it all together, then you'll maximize it, right? But right now, you haven't put all the pieces together to utilize everything that you worked so hard to earn quite yet. Yeah, exactly. I get you. Yeah. And then, you know, so, but that's now, right? I totally get that too. I tell people, you know, in my members only side, and, you know, people see the crazy hours I work, you know, and I do get to live a great life helping people, doing a podcast, talking to you and other great champion bodybuilders. But they see the enormous amount of hours I work. The good thing is I love what I do. But I have to, man, that 15 straight years of competing, right? I wasn't thinking about making money. I have to, you know? And, you know, some of those IFBB professional bodybuilders that I talk to, I'm really kind of amazed how much money they got to put together by being an IFBB pro, you know, because we did nothing. It was nothing like that for us, right?
We didn't have that.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, I totally get that, and that's why I work so hard, and I'm continually looking for ways, and the people who follow me, they say all the stuff that I try and I do. I mean, I got to make up for 15 gigantic years of my life that wasn't focused on that. It was just going through the motions. But before that, for me, you know, I needed love and connection, get that part settled on my life before, you know, what those phase I'm at right now. How much of your life after bodybuilding did it take you to get that, to be in the position that you're in? I mean, and was that something that you knew, a place in your heart that you wanted to, you know, kind of, build, right? Because again, the fitness stars, you know, the ones who struggle with relationships, and they'll tell you, I mean, they have no disregard. It's got to be the perfect match for them. They're still figuring that out, right?
Yeah.
I think it was
always important to me, but uh-huh. It's another thing I didn't really know how or what that really meant.
Yeah.
Right, because I wasn't focused on it. I mean, I had this grand romanticized idea of what this perfect relationship would be, but it wasn't realistic. It was naive.
Uh-huh.
And I'm thinking of this perfect, you know, match that's into all these things like me. When it boils down to it, I mean, again, it wasn't realistic. And I think I struggled with interpersonal relationships because I was always so secluded in my little cocoon of being the best, you know, and that didn't leave time for it. But maybe I didn't want time for it. Maybe that was a nice excuse. I mean,
We're still figuring that part out, right?
But ultimately, you know, and I'm still working on being a better husband and working on being a better in all my interpersonal relationships because I use the word, it might be better, but a certain selfishness that I didn't realize existed in me,
right?
Because I am the most giving.
Yes, you are.
Probably me.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, you are. I mean, and I can vouch for that. I mean, and Jeff's parents, I mean, just the Salter, the greatest people, everybody loves Jeff. For those of you who are in my tribe and haven't been exposed till Jeff by now, I'll vouch for him. You know how much I evaluate people. Everybody loves Jeff. That's why that selfish, adjective does not do justice, right? So,
but that's why it's so shocking that something that's so opposite of really how I've thought I lived my life, but I didn't realize that component was there because everything revolved around me, what I needed to do, and that in and of itself is how I'm terming it selfish. So it's all about, you know, my next meal, my next thing, my next me, and
right.
That's how that part of my life was lived for so long. And then now when you get out into real world and real relationships, I mean, but that's why, again, my perspective and things are so very different. Now, I can't tell you. I don't know when it's time to eat again. I could care less.
Right.
You know, that sort of thing. And,
yeah.
And so many things more important to me now. But at that time, in that bubble, at that moment, that's how it had to be. But you do pay for it. And I'm still figuring some of those things out.
Yeah. It's funny that you said that. I didn't realize it was selfish. You ever say that to one of your normal people who, right, outside of the fitness of the world goes, you didn't know that was selfish, right?
Yeah.
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 I'm curious, Jeff, while you were focused, right, I had many mentors come to me, and I didn't realize until many years later they were trying to slap me in the face and say, what are you doing with all this, right? What's the plan? But I was so filled with the Holy Spirit. It took me 10 years. Oh, that's what he meant, right? Did you have people come to you and ask you what's the bigger picture, what's the bigger plan?
I didn't get as much of that, maybe because at that time I was a little bit younger.
Okay,
But you didn't get as much of that type of advice, and I was so that was the one thing that just I never thought about it, but it was never clear to me, like, what's the end goal here?
Right.
That part was never... I never associated. I was so good at goal setting. And I remember, I had thinking big, man. I had the book.
Yeah.
And I had my goals written down and whatnot. And by the way, I got almost all of them on that list. But but I didn't know what's the end game there. Because
yeah.
You're so naive in the beginning.
Yeah.
Years this romanticized world of bodybuilding that you think about, boy, when you're in the magazines and you're winning these shows and all this. But damn, it's very, very different to what's romanticized.
Yeah.
It's just very, very different.
Yeah, no, I mean, I talk about, you know, those, you know, mentors. I remember like Bill Phillips, who obviously was more than just muscles. He was fitness, business, and whatever, right? Changed the supplement industry and went on to do whatever he does. I mean, he tried to sit me down. I was in his office in Golden, Colorado, and he goes, well, what's the bigger picture with all this? And I don't know, I just said some touchy-feely, pie in the sky, save the world type of thing. I get what he meant by that now. You know, you talked about a lot of things that, you know, really, you know, hit home about, you know, this whole journey that we'd taken. I was really great at goal setting. I was great at motivation. I talk about spending over $100,000, you know, in seminars. Yeah, I don't know. I know it's at least between, I tried to track it one time, between a 70 and 100,000, going to seminars, books, audios, tapes, this, that. And what I needed was one-on-one coaching because while you were writing that book on Thinking Big, that was Jeff with Jeff's perspective. And you wrote down those goals in that state of mind, and guess what? You knocked them down, right? And then it left you, is this all there is? Well, I was the same exact way. That's why I tell you guys, obviously I'm an amazing life coach, right? But it's not just because of what I've gone through, is I can help guide you, because a lot of guys in bodybuilding fitness, they're hard workers. They can work hard. They can come up with a plan. But I tell you, if it's a bad plan, you know, we could have rethought our plan. We could have used a life coach one-on-one asking us really pointed questions, don't you think, Jeff?
Oh, absolutely.
yeah. So tell you can learn from Jeff, you can learn from me, reach out, we can give you some big brother advice or fatherly advice. And speaking of fatherly advice, so Calvin's 16 years old, right? I know I asked you this question a long time ago on a podcast, right? But what advice are you going to give to him? And when you give that advice to him, you're giving it to everybody listening, right? So what's the advice about with this whole bodybuilding, training, fitness, this more than just muscles, balance, goal setting,
and all this stuff? I'm going to expose my son and support him in whatever direction he wants to go. But I would not encourage competitive bodybuilding at all. Weight training, be fit, look good, healthy, absolutely. But I just, for me, knowing what I know, having gone through it, I don't think the payoff's there. I'd be like, man, spend those 10 years learning how to split the atom or something.
Yeah, right. And here's the thing too, Jeff, is right, if you don't spend those 10 years, you're not going to be a true master, because there is some yahoo that's going to put in those 10 years like we did. And we're going to whip your ass on stage, right? So,
So, I mean, it'll be interesting, but no, my feeling is no. I mean, I would never guide him to go in that direction, but we'll see. If something bites him and he loves it, then I'll support him, but that's my feeling.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, maybe why is he getting into that? Because maybe there's other things that need to be addressed. That was certainly in my case. Or asking, you know, deeper, you know, like I said, with this one-on-one coaching, try to set up an and plan. I think if there's and you don't make life situations an or, you make it and, the thinking becomes a lot, you know, more long-term and clear, because you can sprint for 10 years, right? As you know, look at all the people that you met, all the people who emailed you. If you're like me, Jeff, right? Tell me if this is true of you, right? How many people who are big wigs, they're really good at what they do, maybe a business related to bodybuilding or not, right? And now you're in this position with business and your opportunities, and you know business is connections and all that, right? And then you meet somebody because you really know about the business connection. You do your network, and they go, yeah, Jeff, I met you way back when. Remember I gave you my card? Has that ever happened to you now that you're open to business?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, Jeff, that's happened to me so many times. Yeah, Skip, I gave you the trophy at when you won the Team Universe here. Yeah, Skip, I had lunch with you in Las Vegas, right? And now that I'm business-minded, you know, so, man, I can't tell you how many times that. It's just an amazing thing. And, hey, guys, Jeff, I really appreciate, you know, you sharing your story But that's a good question. So you turn all these talents, all these business connections. Hey, so if you're listening to this and you remember Jeff and you try to have this great business idea with him back when it was 2 weeks before him winning the Team Universe overall, this is a better time to talk to him, right? Yeah, right. So you neutralize that all out. You know, sounds good. So you got a plan on how to neutralize that out. And what advice would you give someone who's a recovering bodybuilder? They want to become more than just muscles. Maybe something that can encapsulate something that you may have said, or what would you say it in a couple sentences?
Oh boy, trying to summarize it. I think it's important. I've always felt this, whether it be bodybuilding, whether it be business, whether it be anything, to learn from people who have already had a level of success at what you're trying to do. So in this case, I mean, coaching from you, listening to things like this, people who've been through it can help shorten the pain, the distance for you to get there.
Yeah.
So I've always believed in getting a mentor to help with that. I have some mentors now that are helping me in business. I've always had you and other people. So I think that's really helpful.
Yeah, that's a really good point because, you know, if you get a fitness mentor like Jeff or me back in the day, we could have got you to that trophy that you wanted to, but we couldn't have given you this other thing, right? Right? Because we didn't do it. Yeah. We might not have been the best mentor. Remember that. Remember that when you have a fitness mentor that you love his body, you love his abs, and you love his lifestyle and love his YouTube videos. He may not be the mentor to get you to the big picture in life that you want. And that's what I'm stepping up and doing. That's why I'm having Jeff on here. So thank you so much. Well, congratulations on your family and little Calvin and everything you're going. Thanks, and, you know, I know you. You're a person who draws great people to you because you're such a great guy. You're a determined guy. You're an educated guy. You'll work these things out, you know. Just, you know, everything balance happens over time, right? And so you put your emphasis there. Built up a resume. Now you build up your resume now. It's all going to come together for you. All right. So for IFBB, professional bodybuilder and recovering bodybuilder, right? Like me, Jeff Willett, I am Skip LaCour. You are more than just muscles. You just got to ask for it. You got to ask for that body and an outstanding quality of life. Have a great day.
You're listening to Skip LaCour's More Than Just Muscles podcast. Are you interested in one-on-one coaching with Skip LaCour, but you aren't quite sure it's a good fit for you? That's totally understandable, unless you've had one-on-one coaching in the past or have talked to someone in-depth who's had a great experience with coaching. It can be a real challenge to appreciate its full power and recognize the positive impact it will have on your life. You can get all of your questions about coaching answered by talking to Skip LaCour directly on the phone. Schedule a free 15-minute personal phone call and talk to Skip LaCour directly about your current situation, the goals you want to achieve, and the challenges you believe are standing in your way. Skip works exclusively with men who are the most committed to their success. He'll gladly take the time to explain all of the benefits of his one-on-one coaching programs and determine if the two of you would be a good match moving forward into such a close, consistent, and intense working relationship. Schedule your free 15-minute personal phone call and talk to Skip LaCour about one-on-one coaching right now by going to www.skiplacourcoaching.com. /talk. Once again, that website address to schedule your free 15-minute personal phone call and talk to Skip LaCour about one-on-one coaching is www.skiplacourcoaching.com/talk.